around the corner, so I just figured we would talk a little bit about learning Torah and Kabbalah Satorah and something, a few things that we'll be able to appreciate as we approached the Yontif of Shavuos. So the Pasuk says, we had it in the Parsha B'chukosai a couple of weeks ago, it says in B'chukosai Teilechu, that if you go in my ways, in my laws, and the Pasuk is understood, Rashi tells us that what it means is that Shetu'a Melem B'Torah, they have to work hard when it comes to learning Torah. Now, we all know that when we come to learn Torah, so sometimes if you read a simple pasuk in the Chumash, so a lot of psukim in the Chumash are not so simple. It's very hard to understand sometimes. And for sure, when we try to understand Gemara or something harder than that, many, many times when we come to learn and we see, like, you know, this is not what I signed up for. This is pretty hard. It's not that easy. But the pasuk is telling us that you have to be amelim b'Torah. When we say amelim b'Torah, that means that we have to work hard when it comes to Torah. And no one claims that it's easy, but even so, we still have to push ourselves, and we have to sometimes break our head over the Gemara, whether it's just sometimes just to pronounce the words. You know, it's Hebrew, it's Aramaic, it's all mixed in, and that's something that we need to work hard on. We say a bracha every morning, La'asok b'divrei Sora. We say by davening, we have the Birchas HaTorah, La'asok b'divrei Sora, and we also have the Bracha V'asher Barchabanu, and V'haravna, that's all part of Birchas HaTorah. So the commentaries want to know, why does it say La'asok b'divrei Sora? La'asok, if you look at the art scroll, it probably translates it like to be busy with the Torah, or to work hard over the Torah. Asek means like a business. So why doesn't it say Lumod, to learn Torah? Really, that's, if you would think, that's what you would expect it to say. Shakuchana b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu lumo Torah, to learn the Torah. Why does it say lasso, to work hard? So the answer is that it is working hard. And you have to treat it like an asek, like a business. The Brisker Rav, he says that we have to treat the Torah like a business. What when we come to a business? We don't show up late, and we don't leave early. We don't take, you know, major coffee breaks. When it comes to the learning, the set learning that we have, whether it's in the morning, whether it's at night, different amount of times that people have the opportunity to learn throughout the day, but when it comes to our opportunity that we have to learn Torah, whether it's to go to a shir or with a chavrusa, that we have to really treat it like a business. I'll tell you an interesting story that one time happened. There's a big Talmud Chacham, his name is Rabbi Yeshua Hartman. And if you notice, you know, you have a lot of shuls, I don't know if this shul has it, oh, there it is, the Gur Aryeh, the blue Gur Aryeh, is the blue marals, and on Chumash, and is the marals on other topics. So he, Rabbi Yeshua Hartman, he put out those farm, and he has all the commentaries on the bottom. So he's a related to a relative of mine, so he told us an interesting story that one time happened, with a cute story that happened with him, that he was a Rebbe in a yeshiva, and he noticed that one of his students was not there one day. So now he knew that this boy's brother got married the night before. So he figured, you know what, probably the wedding went very late, as is the norm, and, you know, he's sleeping in, he's not coming to yeshiva. But he knew something else. He knew that there was another brother, a third brother, not the one who got married and not his student, an older brother that was now working in a store somewhere, in Mea Sharim. He worked at a mattress store in Mea Sharim. So he was curious, is this boy who's, at work, was he able to be at work on time, 9 o'clock in the morning? So he calls the mattress store, and he knows that the boy's name is, let's say, Mati. He used to be an old student of his. So he figured he doesn't want to speak to Mati, because he doesn't really have anything to say to him. He just wants to know if he's there. So he calls the number, he gets the phone number, and he calls and he says, Shalom, Mati Nimtza, is Mati there? So he says, Ken Medaber, speaking. So now he's in trouble, because now Mati's on the phone. So he said, oh, hi, this is Rabbi Hartman, you know, mazel tov on your brother. I heard your brother got married last night, very nice, he should have simchas in the family. He says, oh, thank you very much. He says, you know, so how are you at work? You know, like, you're probably so tired, the wedding probably, you know, ended so late. He says, yeah, you know, the wedding, I am tired, you know, but listen, business is business, you know, you gotta be there on time. So he says, oh, okay, right, well, very impressive. So he said, mazel tov, and he hung up the phone. The next phone call he made was to the boy's mother. And he says, where's my Talmud? He says, what do you mean? You know, my son got married last night, so he's so tired, he slept in. He says, yeah, but your other son is at the job. He's at the business 9 o'clock in the morning. So whatever she answered is not important. Probably, who knows what she answered, it's not important. But what he was trying to show is to show that, you know, if a person treats it like a business, then a person is supposed to treat the Torah learning like a business. And when it means to come on time, it means that that you have to work hard and you have to treat it like a business. And the pasuk says, it's a pasuk in Tilim, Kuf Yates, Sas Anochi Alim Rasecha Kimotzei Shalal Rav, that I rejoice over your Imra Secha. Now the simple meaning is referring to the Torah. We know that that pasuk is said by a bris as well, that's also referring to bris mila, which is why I usually quote that pasuk. But the simple explanation of the pasuk is that it's going to the Torah. Sas Anochi Alim Rasecha, I rejoice over the words of your Torah, Kimotzei Shalal Rav, like I found a lot of shalal. Shalal means booty, spoils. So now what's booty and spoils? Booty and spoils is something that you get in a war. If I find something on the street, I find a dollar on the sidewalk, that's not called booty, that's not called spoils, that's called a metzia. I found it, I got lucky. But booty and spoils is something that you have to fight over, something you have to work very hard for. That's why by the Torah, if I find something in the Torah, if I get a good pshat in the Gemara, or whatever it is, that's booty, that's spoils, because that's something like a war, that's something like a mochama that you have to fight over, you have to work very hard. And, you know, connecting the Torah to this idea, to a bris, I had this chus, I did a bris here, this past week, like we were talking about, this past Friday it was, and 6:45 was davening. I come here, whenever I come to bris, I like to get there a little bit before the davening, this way I could start setting up a little bit, get a small table, and as you know, so I come here, and there's a shir going on, you were in the shir. So I came at around 6:35 or something, and the shir was ready in full swing. So that means that whatever time they started up, Silverstein was already giving the shir, and there was a good number of people there, 5-6 people. It means you wake up early, that you have, and you know, you hear the alarm clock so early in the morning, and it's a war to not press snooze. It's a war to get out of bed. We all know it. No matter what time we wake up, it's a war, especially when you have to wake up 6 o'clock in the morning to go to a daf yomi or whatever shir it was. That is all part of working hard for the Torah. That's all part of Lasok B'Divrei Sora. It doesn't have to be only the actual learning, but all the hardships that we go in to work hard for the learning. I'll tell you another cute story that Rav Shalom Shadron used to say over. Rav Shalom Shadron was the Magid of Yerushalayim. He was the one who was very close to my father and to my family. So he used to say over a cute story, but it's a very powerful story. He said in the beginning of the early 1950s, when Eretz Yisrael was, you know, just, you know, getting off the ground, so he had a shir for teenage boys, and he used to come at night, and he used to come at night, and he used to give them a shir. And there was a certain boy that used to come all the time. Then for a couple weeks, he noticed that boy wasn't there. He missed for a couple weeks. And it was before cell phones and, you know, easy telephones just to call the guy, hey, where are you? So he was wondering what's going on. You know, maybe something wrong. Maybe he's not well. So he got the boy's address, and he went after the shir one night. He went to the boy's house. He knocked on the door, and the boy answers the door. He says, What's doing? Where are you? Where you been? So he says, yeah, I've been busy, you know, I haven't been able to I haven't been there the past couple weeks, I'm busy, in a week I'll be there, I'm going to be out the next week as well, but I'll be there in a week. So he says, is everything okay? Are you sick? He says, no, I'm not sick, and you wouldn't understand, I'm fine, don't worry. He says, no, maybe I could help, you know, like, you know, don't be embarrassed, tell me what's the matter, you know, maybe I could help. He says, no, there's nothing wrong. He pressured him, he says, fine, I'll tell you, you're not going to understand, but I'll tell you. He says, I love soccer. And right now, there's the tournament going on, and it's the playoffs, whatever you call it. And it's been for the past 2 weeks, and it's going to be for another week. And I live for soccer, and I have to watch the playoffs. And I promise, in a week, I'll be back. I'll come back for this year. But right now, I can't come, and it's not going to be for another week. So Abshalom said, soccer? What's soccer? What are you talking about? So he says, you're not going to appreciate it. You're not going to understand. I'll tell you. He said, there's a ball, and there's a net and a goal, and he tries to start explaining to him that you kick the ball into the net, and it's a lot of fun, and it gets like so thrilling when you get the ball into the net, and there's two teams, you know, a certain amount of people on each team, and you have to kick the ball into the net. So Rav Shalom says, they're like, what's so exciting about that? You know, it's a small ball, it's not a big ball, and it's a huge net, and they're like, what's the big deal to kick it in the net? You know, it's not so incredible. He says, no, you don't understand. He said, there's a goalie, and there's someone blocking you. There's trying to someone trying to block you, to stop you from getting the ball in the net. There's someone trying to block you. Then when you get the ball past him, even though he's trying to stop you, that's what's special. So Shalom said, what? He's there 24 hours a day? He says, no, he goes home when it's over. He says, Noose, it's 10 o'clock at night. I'm sure he's not there now. Let's go quick. Let's take a ball and let's kick it in the net now before he comes back tomorrow. You know, I'm sure he's not there now. So he said, but then what's the point? When it's easy, then it's not a big deal. The whole point is when it's hard to do it, and when there's someone blocking you, then you try and do it, even so, off a pika, and then that's what's chashev. So Rabbi Shalom was like waiting for him, like he fed it, he was leading him there, he was waiting for him to realize what he's saying. Rabbi Shalom knew what soccer was, probably wasn't good at it, but he knew exactly what it was. He was trying to get this guy to say it himself. And the boy realized how silly he sounded. And of course, that's the whole point. If it's easy to do, you know, most of us, I think nowadays, it's not, you know, like when we pass a McDonald's, do we have like a taiva to go into the McDonald's and eat the non-kosher food? We don't have such a taiva. So that's not a big deal. We don't necessarily get so much schar in Shemayim if we don't get so much reward in the next world if we pass by the McDonald's and don't go in. But to work hard, you know, to over a taisis, over a gemara, but something that's hard for us, we all know what we have hard times dealing with, whether it's Lashon Hara, concentrating during the avenue, or coming to a shir, working hard, that is the real schar. And sure enough, the boy, the next night, he was at the shir. Because he realized his own lesson that he had taught himself, that when it's hard, that's what Hashem really wants to see, to be amelus, to work hard over the Torah. And this idea of amelus for Torah, that the point is to work hard for the Torah, until now we've been saying how a person needs to work hard, there's really a flip side to it. And that's the following. That a lot of times, like we're saying, we work hard over Gemara, whether it's Bav Metzia, whether it's Tafiemi, or it's even it's a Pasuk in Chumash, a Rashi, a Ramban. Some of them are hard, we know, they're not so easy to understand. So we work hard. And then what happens sometimes? We don't end up getting pshat. We don't end up getting understanding. We don't understand. You know, and sometimes our Rebbe needs to go weiter, and he needs to go further. Everybody else in the class, everybody else in the shir, they understood everything. And you feel like, you know, you didn't grasp it. So is it for naught? Was it all for nothing? You know, I worked and worked and worked on trying to understand the Gemara, trying to understand a certain Torah thought, and I just couldn't get it. It happens. You know, does it mean that it was all a waste of time? So the answer is no, because that's the flip side. The main schar is not for the end product to understand it. That'd be great if we understand it. But the main schar is for the hard work. That if we put the hard work in our Torah learning, then even if we don't necessarily... Even if we don't end up getting to such a high level, we just understand the basics, or even if we don't understand anything, we still get the schar. The Chafetz Chaim, the Heilige Chafetz Chaim, he says a beautiful pshat, you know, by when we make a siyum, we say, we have the siyum of Shas coming up, I think Daf Yemi just started Nida, which is the last mesechta of Gemara and Shas, so we're almost there at the Daf Yemi, the siyum. So when we say a siyum, we say the expression, we say many different sentences. So one of the sentences we say is that we say, Anu amelim, v'heim amelim. That we work hard, and v'heim, and the non-Jews, the Goyim, they work hard. Anu amelim u'makabel mischar. We work hard, and we get reward. V'heim amelim, and they work hard, v'ein u'makabel mischar. And they do not get reward. So the simple understanding is, I think the simple understanding is, that yes, we work hard, and they work hard. So we get schar, meaning we get real schar. We get schar in Olam Haba, in the world to come. And they work hard, and they don't get schar. What do they get? You know, they get a paycheck, whatever they get, but they don't get real reward in the world to come. That's, I think, the simple explanation. But the Chafetz Chaim says, he asks a question. He says, what do you mean? They work hard and don't get schar? Everybody gets schar. Everybody gets reward. They work hard. They get some type of reward. Maybe they'll get a good report card grade, or they'll get a raise from their boss. Everybody gets reward. So how can we say that they work hard and don't get reward? So the Chafetz Chaim says what it means is no. That we work hard and they work hard. We work hard and get reward for the working hard. That even if we don't have the end product, we work hard. We just learned Gemara, and we work hard over learning the Gemara, and we get the reward for the working hard. They work hard, and they don't get schar. They don't get any reward for the working hard. They get based on the final product. If they make the business deal, then they'll get reward. They'll get the business deal. But if they work hard to get a business deal, and they don't make it, so then they don't get any reward for that. There's nothing major. If there's no final product, then they haven't gotten anything. But by us, it's not like that. When we're working hard for the Torah, that itself we get reward, even if we don't end up getting the final end product. And we know from in the end of Parshas, Beshalach, we read this on Purim. We say by Amalek that we have to kill out Amalek, and it says that they fought against Amalek, that Klal Yisrael fought against the nation of Amalek, and it says that Moshe had to appoint Yeshua to be in charge of fighting the war against Amalek. Now, not necessarily that it was Yeshua was a strong man or a great warrior, but why was he in charge of fighting against Amalek? So The answer is that Amalek, why did Amalek come against Klal Yisrael? Because it came to defeat them. We were rough Yudeim in HaTorah. We were weak from the Torah. So who is in charge? Who would be best fitted to lead the battle against the nation of Amalek, against those who have attacking us because of the lack of the Torah? That's Yeshua. Yeshua was the main student of Moshe Rabbeinu. So he was the prized student of Moshe Rabbeinu. Who would be best fitting to be the one to lead the battle against Amalek that came against us because we had the lack of Torah? So the question is, my Rebbe, Rabbi Shariyeli, he brought from his Rebbe, Rabbi Michal Yehuda Lefkowitz, Zatzal. So he asked a very good question. He says, if that's the answer, that's what the Or Chaim says, that Yeshua was the one in charge because he was the big Talmud Chacham, he was the prize student of Moshe Rabbeinu, to lead the fight against Amalek. So he says, if that's the case, so why did Yeshua have to do it? Let Moshe Rabbeinu himself do it. What if you have Moshe Rabbeinu? Why are you getting Yeshua? Moshe Rabbeinu is even better than Yeshua, you would imagine, because he got the Torah directly from Hashem. So he says the answer is the following. He says that's exactly the point. Moshe Rabbeinu, he got the Torah straight from Hashem, but that was easy. Hashem gave it to him as a gift. Hashem had the Moshe Rabbeinu had a Rebbe like Hashem, so he didn't work hard on the Torah. The Yerushalmi in Horio says that Moshe Rabbeinu lo nisyageya. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have to work hard for the Torah. Only Yoshua had to work hard for the Torah. So to fight the battle against Amalek, the only person who could fight the battle against Amalek was Yeshua. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't able to fight the battle against Amalek because he didn't work hard for the Torah. So in a way, it's a prerequisite to work hard for the Torah. And like I was saying, whether you get the final product or you do get the final product or you don't get the final product, the main thing is the working hard for the Torah, and that's the whole point, and that's why Yeshua had to lead the battle against fighting against the Torah. We're talking about the Siyum HaShas, so just tell you one cute story, one funny joke. I don't know if you've ever heard of Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky. Ever heard of Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky?
Yeah.
He's from Bnei Brak. So he's like a maggid. He's also like in a maggid of some sorts. He gives shmuzin, he gives drashas, and he gives a lot of musr. And he's very short. You ever see a picture of him?
He came to Pasay
6 years ago.
Oh wow! So it's before I moved here. I moved here 6 years ago.
Right. He came several times.
He came several times. Okay. Yeah. So he's about 5 feet tall. He's very short, but he's if you ever heard him speak, he has a great sense of humor. He's very funny. So when he gives his musr, he throws in jokes and he keeps everybody awake like that. It's very good. So he one time, we were talking about learning Torah and being Mesayim Shas, we're talking about the Siyum HaShas. So you all know, I'm sure you all know that Rabbi Chaim Kanevsky, tremendous Talmud Chacham in Bnei Brak, so he finishes Shas every year, Gemara. He finishes Shas every year, he finishes much more than that every year, but he finishes the entire Shas every year. It just came out, the article just came out with a book on Rebbe and Kanevsky. I just bought it today for my wife. His wife passed away, so they wrote a biography about her. So I bought that today for my wife. But Rebbe Chaim Kanevsky, he makes a siyum on Shas every Erev Pesach. Could be he's a Bukhar, I'm not sure. He makes a siyum on the whole Shas every Erev Pesach. So Rabbi Yaakov, so it's by invitation only, not just anybody comes to the siyum. So Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky is one of the people that's invited to the siyum every year. So he came to the siyum, and he told Rebbe Chaim Kanevsky that my brachos have more kayach than your brachos. My brachos that I give to people, I give someone a blessing, have more power than your brachos. So Rabbi Chaim Kanevsky said, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Why are you saying that your brachos have more power than mine? He says, I'll prove it to you. He says, every year you make a siyam on Shas, and I give you a bracha that you should finish Shas again next year. And you say to me, v'chein lamar, and so too by you. He says, and my brachas are mekuyim, and your brachas are not mekuyim. He says, because you keep on finishing Shas every year, and I never finish Shas. So you see, my blessings have more power than your blessings. But that's a lesson you could see from Chaim Kanevsky, that you see, to work, I mean, by now probably maybe he doesn't have to work so hard, but to finish Shas every year, what are you, about 7.5, 8 blot a day, including Yom Kippur, and including, you can't learn on Tisha B'Av and these things. You have to, we see what it means to work hard for the Torah. So we talk about Amalek. How do we, the Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, I'm sure you've heard of Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, he says, how do we fight against Amalek nowadays? We don't know who is an Amaleki. We could see down the street, we could know someone who's a non-Jew, but we don't necessarily know who is from Amalek. And it could be there's no one in our vicinity at all about Amalek, from Amalek. So how do we fight Amalek? So Rabbi Chanan says, the way we fight Amalek nowadays is by working and learning Torah, by working hard to learn Torah. And he says this is not a drush, this is not a gadita, he says this is practical halacha. He says it clearly in the end of Kovetz Aretz. He says, Rabbi Chanan Rossman says that this is halacha, halacha lamaisa. He says, how do we mekayim the mitzvah? It's a mitzvah deraisa to wipe out Amalek. We don't know who Amalek is. We practically, the way we do that is by working on Torah and learning Torah. And then wherever Amalek is around the world, wherever they are, we have no clue where they are, but wherever they are, they're going to dissipate. They're going to end up falling away if we work hard on the Torah. So that's something when we come to Kabbalah HaTorah and we read Rus on Shavuos. Rus was a Geiris, and someone who's a Geiris, they have to accept all 613 mitzvahs upon themselves. It's not enough to just accept 612, they have to accept every single one. The easy ones and the hard ones, the kalas v'chamuras. And yes, the easy ones, it's great, we get schar, but the main thing is the hard ones. We have the hard ones, the hard averas that everyone has their hard time to work with, whether it's the learning of the Torah or any other mitzvah, but that is something that through the Yontif of Shavuos, we should have the seirus, we should have the inspiration to be able to tackle those desires that we have against it, those yetzaharas that we have to try and fight us, and we should continue, and we should learning the Torah that we are, and that we always do, and we should be zeichet to the true Kabbalah Satayr.
Amen.